Good morning. Well, don't have a theme for today, but what I would like to do is address something from last week. So, first of all, take a deep breath and follow it down and follow your breath. And without engaging thoughts, without engaging what may be appearing, and even without engaging what may be being experienced in this moment, rest back in reality. Recognize there is no person here to be speaking, and there is no person there to be listening. When God awareness alone is, there is no second reality. So let us continue and get empty before we start. So follow that breath in and be aware of a breath going out, letting go of things to do for today, letting go any schedules. Let drop all things for today. Let all the schedules go for the future. And as you follow a breath in and out, let go of the things of the world. Let go of the things that are being a distraction. Each breath, let go of the past and the memories, letting go, setting them aside to follow a breath. And leave all feelings and sensations aside for now. Don't touch anything. Even letting go of this moment called now, leave it all. And do not engage any thoughts. Leave them all aside. Just be empty, letting go. Even leave I am. Leave I. And just recognize you are just present, empty, empty. So, I have been pondering on the question from last week, and it was in regards to, baby. When does the baby begin to become conditioned? And I would like us to look at that again. So firstly, what we must recognize is that there is no baby there. And you know why there is no baby there, right? Because only consciousness is present. Infinitely there and everywhere. Okay? Only awareness is present, just the one. But we are the ones that are conditioned to see and react to what we claim as being a baby present. We are the ones conditioned to see a baby, not pure consciousness, not the awareness, not the presence of God. We are conditioned to see the baby. So that would be when the conditioning would begin, for this very small form called baby, is by our conditioning of only recognizing a baby, not the presence of God. So we have already begun the conditioning. We have already begun the separation ideas. You all seeing that? Okay. So as the consciousness comes into expression and takes up a form, and this form we call a baby, it has a functioning mind and a functioning body. And it is being conditioned by those who are closely present with this new expression of God. God in expression of itself. So we must remember that it is consciousness that is there using the body form, within the body form, expressing the body form. So it is God in expression with a form that we're conditioned to call baby, just like we're conditioned to call a specific form tree, or a specific form lamp, or a specific form table. We are conditioned to do that. Even with those forms, it is God consciousness that is present. It is through that presence that mind can even project these forms. Okay? So, it is up to the one who is, for better words, awakened to the reality that is present to recognize continuously that though that's not a baby, that is the very presence of God. That doesn't mean it doesn't get fed or the diaper's changed, but it is the unconditioning that is taking place by one that is aware of what is really there and staying in that recognition, specifically while in the presence of that form, knowing that it is God consciousness that is there. Okay. But you also have to recognize that this form is not a son nor a daughter. It is the form is not a niece or a nephew. This form also is not a grandchild nor a great grandchild. Okay. What is there is the same as what you are, which is pure awareness, which is God consciousness. Okay. So you might ask, who near any new baby form coming into expression is knowing and living the reality of that infinitely present presence. I don't feel at this time that there are many that when a new form comes in, it is recognized as God. First and foremost, and always, the presence is God, not my baby. Now, we all know that consciousness does express in what we call human form, as in any other form. And it comes into the dream. This is a dream. Don't forget that. But it comes into the dream with things to work on. Okay. It has not yet realized it is pure consciousness. Otherwise, that expression of consciousness would not be here. Okay. So, does everyone get that now? And I remember it was Peggy that had asked the question. And I will ask back to you if that is a helpful response.
Yes, it is, Mary. I remember when my sister was conceived. She was due the same month as myself, and everybody assumed she was going to take on the characteristics of myself because it's the same astrological month. And she did take on those characteristics. But I think about and maybe I'm getting too far off the track, the conception of Jesus. Where that was a conception that was from the Holy Ghost. And it says in the Bible, Mary wondered about these things. Like it was coming from the Holy Ghost or the God. And so she didn't really, there was no conditioning, I don't think. Oh, I know there was no conditioning on the form Jesus.
You're speaking of consciousness. Given that the consciousness appeared in a form that we are taught is a form called Jesus, given that the consciousness appeared through that form, it would be this the same as us. You can't say that this particular form had more of an expression of God than this particular form or that particular form. No, that cannot be. There's no favoritism. And there, even though God is an expression with the forms, the wholeness and the fullness is with each form. Otherwise, we would not be able to recognize that I am the fullness of God. So that fullness was complete with that form, just as it is with this form or that form or that form. It would be, no, it would not be possible for it to have more than another. Now, Mary, and I know these are all allegories and stories, in the story, Mary recognizes that there was, say, no conditioning. Okay. So, but Mary may have been in that place of awakening and recognizing that where many of us are here that don't recognize that. We don't recognize that when our son, so to speak, or our daughter, so to speak, is coming into expression. We don't recognize that that is God. Mary may have been at a level where she did recognize that only God can be present.
That makes sense.
Okay. but it wouldn't have been more. There was no specialtism given to the image or the form that is called Jesus. No, 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 that would not be. We are all the one presence. Some recognize that at its at the highest level, and some are working on it.
Okay, thank you.
So yes, please recognize there is no one special over another one. That does not happen within God. Because there is only oneness, there couldn't be a breaking apart of it and say, okay, I'm giving you 98% of awareness, and you over here, I'm giving you 20%, and you're going to get 3% of awareness. No, we are all the same one God presence. It is like the one sun is shining, but there are so many sunbeams. Okay. And, but they are all in expression and they have the fullness of the sun within them. So there's only the one and we are, you are that one. And that one is in expression as many. It looks like many, just like the one sun. If you could see them, you would see many, many sunbeams. An expression from the one, but they all have the same fullness of the one. Not one doesn't have more than the other. Even like a wave in the ocean, that no matter how high up or how short up that wave goes, it has the fullness of the ocean in its expression. Okay, so how are you doing with you don't have any children?
It's a huge relief.
Okay, guys, this is time for questions or comments. Can you live your day without having a child?
Mary?
Yes, love.
This feels so important to look at in my own life. Of just my everyday meeting, not so much of my children, but them too. But it's almost like leave myself when I'm with others. I seemingly leave myself. I.
Okay, whoa. Do you mean that when you're with others, you can leave the expression that you feel you are a person?
No, I leave the ex feeling of presence.
Okay. I gotcha. All right. I just wanted to clarify that. That
But
you're pulled out of being I.
exactly.
Okay.
And I think understanding what you presented this morning is gonna
give me a new way of seeing.
When you're with what you presume to be others, and that's why you're pulled out. You're pulled out into the razzle dazzle out there.
It's
Okay.
like I, yeah.
But it's only razzle dazzle because you're seeing them as others. You're not seeing what is present. You're saying, I'm pulled out of being I. But what is taking place is there is a belief in others, and you're just out there conversing with others, their stories or their dramas or whatever is going on with them in their belief systems of being separate persons.
Exactly.
So you're pulled into their stories. Now, the only way that we're pulled into their stories is because we believe in our story and their story sounds interesting. Maybe it's better than my story. I don't know. Or worse than my story, you know? So misery loves company. But there's not that pulling out when you release them. When you let them go from being others and recognize that God alone is there. You can't be pulled into a story that has no existence. So when you're with what you presume to be other, what we call others, when you're with them, take a breath. Come back to heart. Come back to real. And when you're speaking with them, yes, be attentive. Be attentive to what they're speaking. But when you look in their eyes, you will recognize that oneness, that presence of God, and you'll not be pulled into their stories. You may have to give them a drink of cold water or whatever they might need, a hug or just a sympathetic ear, or dancing if it's a joyful thing going on. But you'll not be pulled into their dramas. When you recognize that God alone is the only presence and God doesn't have dramatic stories. In that practicing, you are recognizing the oneness that you are. Because I am my neighbor. I am what I call my daughter. I am what I call my son. I am what I call others. And that's your practice. When you're in the store and you're going through the line and the clerk is there, good morning, how are you doing? You know, whatever comes out. But that's all in the recognition that I am in joy with myself. I am enjoying my own presence. Anywhere that you encounter what you call an other, be it on the phone, before answering the phone, oh, God is calling. Has to be, can't be anything else. Could be you might call it the bill collector, but in reality, it is yourself. It is the presence of God calling. When you walk into a room and it's full of what you presume to be others, no, take that breath. God in expression. That's what's here. Love. That's what's here. And that's the altitude that you walk in. Okay. So while you don't have any children and there are no others, it is yourself, the one presence that is there. And we do that at all times. It's again, it's that red flag. We do that at all times. That is a practice that is practiced all the time until that practice fades because you are living oneness. It always comes back to you and where you are in your awareness. It's not out there. It's not with them. It's not out there. It's where am I in my clear seeing? Where am I in living what I am? Yes, it always comes back to roost. It always comes back here. So one other thing too is that when these come up, okay, like getting pulled into other people's dramas, believing thoughts that are unkind about ourselves or unloving about ourselves, that we're still holding on to some human baggage, so to speak. Please don't look for a response from the mind. Don't look for the answers from the mind. In this regard, we be still and we go within. If an answer is required, it will be there. And that's another thing. The answer doesn't always come immediately. So again, just don't give your practices to the mind. Not yet. You have a mind in training. So even in that regard, what we do call the mind really isn't a mind. It's an accumulation of thoughts, and this accumulation of thinking and thoughts, we call that mind, but it's just more thoughts. It's just thoughts. Hey, is there anything at all you want to talk about today? I took the day off. I'm leaving it up to you today.
Mary,
Yes, love.
you said something. So sometimes when you speak, I just take a word or something you say just like stays with me all week. And what's staying with me right now is living oneness.
Okay.
Don't know, I just wanted to.
It's very simple to live oneness. All you have to do is give up your belief in being a separate person. That's it.
So simple.
Very simple. Very simple. Now, that belief in being a separate person. It isn't any, it isn't a thought that is any different than the grass is green. That's a thought that's not even real. But I'm a separate person. I'm a tired person. I'm a sick person. I'm a hungry person. I'm an unknowing person. I'm an unrealized person. They are all thoughts. The thought that I am separate is just a thought, like I'm thirsty. Or that's a beautiful palm tree out there. That's a thought. I'm a separate person. That's a thought. It's not a reality. It's not real. It has nothing really to sustain it other than your belief in the thought. That is the only thing. That can sustain that feeling of separation, that fearfulness, that anxiety, that doubt, that guilt, that shame. All of that is based on a sense of separation. And the only thing keeping you in that is the thought and the belief in the thought, I'm a separate person. It's that simple. There is no devil making you do it. There's nothing that is forcing us or making us believe in that one thought. I'm a separate entity. There's nothing here making us believe that. It is a thought that rises within consciousness. It rises within my being. I am aware of the thought. Do I pick it up and play with it and believe it, or do I let it pass by like a cloud? So it is a thought. We are so conditioned with that thought that we believe it. And we live it. That thought is living God's life. It has taken precedence over God's presence, your own God self. That one thought. Because all of the other negative connotations of our life is based on that one thought. And if I believe I'm separate and not the presence of God, then I also believe that the other 8 billion forms out there are also separate and they are not God either. But I'm doing my best to find God. You don't have to find God. You are that. It is about seeing clearly the thought that maybe even still permeates the day and lives the day and see that clearly and say, oh, poo, forget that. So if you're still playing with a sense of separation. What makes you think that you are separate? What makes you accept a thought that says I'm separate? What is the cause of that for you?
It feels comfortable.
Even in the pain and the suffering, yes, familiarity can be comfortable, you know, like an old shoe, but all the while the old shoe is distorting my foot, leading it to pain, leading it to great pain. So, and so what you're saying, that the life that has suffering and pain is more comfortable than being empty of all of that and just radiating peace and love. I want to get the story straight.
Wow.
Okay, so you say that it is familiar, it's comfortable, you know, like an old shoe. But those are thoughts. It is comfortable. Okay, then that's a thought. So the thoughts behind that should be able to describe what is comfortable about it. So go a little deeper. What is comfortable about it?
It feels like I belong to something.
That's another thought. What do you feel like you belong to?
The earth.
The what?
The earth. Humanity.
Okay, so you belong to the oneness of humanity. Okay. So why, if you belong to a oneness of humanity, then how, why do you feel separate from the oneness?
Because it doesn't feel good.
It doesn't feel good to be in the oneness of humanity.
Right.
Okay. Then why don't you release that and see clearly and rest in the oneness of life, of being, of joy and happiness and peace? Why not rest in that oneness? See, yeah, this is typical when there is that quick response. I'm separate. Why do you feel separate? Boom. But you have to challenge that, because that thought is nothing. That thought that I'm comfortable in this sense of separation, I'm comfortable in the sense of sometimes suffering and sometimes being happy. I'm comfortable in, so the thought comes out uncomfortable. And then you challenge that. Why am I comfortable in that? So, you, and then it gives a nut, then mind is responding. Okay, this is mind that's responding. You know that, right? So mind is giving out these answers. I'm comfortable. Challenge that. And then you challenge again. And you finally get to the point that you got to where it was like you couldn't find anything more. The mind wasn't giving any more responses. There's why? Because there, the mind is not the place for your answers. The mind is not the go-to guru for answers. The heart is. So if you take that same question that I ask you, why do you feel comfortable in the sense of separation? And you take that, actually, if you take it to the heart, rather than just letting mind go back around in circles and keeping you on the wheel of separation, and you take it to the heart, you're going to cut that off right away. You're not going to have to sit there playing with it. So let's take that to the heart. The same question, the same response. Why do you feel comfortable being in a sense of separation? Why do I feel? So you take your breath, you let go of the mind, you begin letting go, you get empty. You get empty, you get all the way down in. And you ask the heart that question, not mind. You don't even have to say it out loud. But why am I so comfortable in a sense of separation and suffering? And you take that in the heart. And you do not let the mind in. Okay? You're questing in the heart, not the mind. So you don't let the mind in. If it tries to give responses, pay no attention to mind. Pay no attention to it whatsoever. And come in empty and settle there. And take time to feel what is going on with that question in the heart. Take the time. Be still with it. Why is there such a, I feel comfort? Who is the I that feels comfortable in a sense of separation? Where is the I? This is how you break those chains of thoughts that keep you on the wheel of separation. Just one thought after, I'm comfortable. It feels okay. I feel I'm one with humanity, but I don't like it. No. So you, it, there's the mind is just doing its thing, just throwing out answers. Okay. And this is what you want to stop. I don't know if you got a, did you get a feeling yet in the heart?
Yes.
And that's a different feeling and a different answer from the mind, right?
It's from a different place in me.
So this is practice. Okay. When you surrender to the mind and suffering, okay, and that sense of separation and all that it brings behind it, okay, you are not living truth. Your truth. You're not living your truth. And your truth is that I am. And the truth is that everyone that looks appears to be others is the same I am that I am. Is the same God presence that I am. So recognizing my reality as being the presence of God is not a difficult thing if you will take the time to stop the mind's action or activity, to stop it. There is a time to use the mind, but there is never a time when the mind is supposed to be using you. Never. So if you can see that you're allowing the mind to live God's life, then you can stop that. You can take back your authority from the mind. How? By questioning what the mind presents or ignoring it altogether. You do not have to believe what the mind is presenting. And the thoughts, again, are not your thoughts. It doesn't matter how personal, intimate they may seem, they're not your thoughts. They bubble up in consciousness and they're just there. So we become aware of some of the thoughts and we, other thoughts we're never aware of. Okay. So that is a good practice for you when, you see that mind is running the show and it's time to stop the mind and bring it back. We call it bring it back to source. The mind has the same source as everything else, but the mind is almost always facing outward. When you question the thoughts, okay, when you challenge these thoughts in what we call mind begins to turn back toward the source. It begins to, what we call, it comes home. It comes back to the source. But you are the trainer. Okay. So the mind, it's like a wild Mustang. And you are the trainer. You have to bring it back to the source. You have to bring it back to the peace. And not allow it to run wild. Okay. Question?
Mary, I'd like to bring up an example about that. I was on a treadmill and I looked down at this band on the board, and it says, at my age, I'm supposed to be going at this speed, right? And it's pretty awful, right? It's at the end. If I go any further, I don't know, it might be the end of me. I looked at it and I thought, that's ridiculous. I'm going to bring this down another 10, 15 years, you know? So, which I did, you know, it wasn't that hard, but I was able to do it. And I looked at that and I thought, if I stay with whatever my mind or this band is telling me, then I will never get out of whatever this falsehood is, right? It's, and when you talked about the Mustang and the mind running wild, you know, that if I took that literally and said, well, let me stay at this turtle stage on this treadmill, I have cemented myself into a very limited area.
Just enjoy it at whatever. Nice. That is seeing clearly. That's about seeing clearly. Yes, Kate.
Thank you.
What, for the Mustang?
Out of the whole experience, it was like a very living experience.
Good.
Very
Thank you.
good. Thank you.
Good. So we gather, do not look to the mind for answers. If you have a question, take it directly to your heart. Take it to what is real. And let the silence speak, not the mind. Let the silence speak. Okay. So, any more questions or comments? Well, we will call this one complete. Thank you. So, let us pray. Most beloved self, I am as I am. The pure presence of awareness. I see clearly and I am happy and free. In my heart is only love and harmony. I see clearly and I am happy and free. In my naturalness of stillness and silence, I see clearly, and I am happy and free. Thank you, most beloved one, that it is so. Thank you, thank you. Amen. Om Shanti Namaste.